You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Seth Kaiser of Arrowhead Pride, the Chief of the North podcast, at Real MN Chiefs Fan on Twitter. Is there anything else that people need to know that you do?
I don't sleep, but beyond that, that's all.
With Joshua Briscoe.
You will find Seth Kaiser everywhere except for in his or your bed, because not only does he not sleep, he's also a faithful husband. So that's important.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Welcome back in to ESPN Kansas City's Almost Entirely Sports. I don't know why I made it possessive there, but it felt like the right thing to do. We're live from Northern Pub here today, tomorrow, and Friday down in the Power and Light District, stage right of the KC Live stage. It is awesome here. There are a thousand things happening around me all at once. So if you thought I was distracted with two TVs in the ESPN Kansas City studios, this today has been like trying to do a show from inside of a washer and dryer set. I feel like I've been spun around at 1,000 miles per hour. But so now we bring in, obviously, the stabilizer supreme, never a man who speaks out of turn, never a man who says anything he wasn't purposefully intending on saying. Seth Kaiser, he's at Real MN Chief. You heard all of this stuff in the liner bag from break. You can follow him on Twitter, at Real MN Chiefs Fan. Seth, how's the Netflix and chill life been going?
Life is good, man. I can't complain. How's it going?
I'm good, stupendously distracted, but again, not terribly different than usual, just a little more so. So this offseason has been busy, and we're still technically in the 2017 league year. It's not even March 14th yet, and everyone in football is moving, everyone in free agency is more or less there already, and teams are trading star players for pennies on the dollar. Has your head stopped spinning at any point yet? How have you consumed this offseason in these last couple of weeks?
I'm having fun. Obviously, some of these things are more fun than others. You know, losing a great corner is not fun. You know, we're not – normally this is a very dead time of year. Normally I would have written probably three or four in-depth film reviews by now because there's nothing else to write about. But I haven't even gotten around to it except one or two because just things keep happening. So I'm having a blast with it. I've been waiting for years for NFL teams to figure out that the league is perfectly – suited to being active with trades, because there's no other league like the NFL where one man's trash can really be another man's treasure, with veterans, with usage and that kind of stuff, with how contracts all work out. And now teams seem to finally be figuring out, hey, it makes sense to trade assets we don't really care about to teams that do care about them. It's awesome seeing it finally come together.
Yeah, I agree 100%. It always sort of surprised me how cold the NFL's market could be in that way, and it makes all the sense in the world. Although I do look around, and this was the case with the Marcus Peters trade, of course, today. We haven't even talked about this yet. Today's been busy. But today the Seahawks traded Michael Bennett to the Super Bowl champions for some draft pick change in their pocket. This is kind of a macro question, but how do you see NFL general managers and front offices in general valuing draft picks versus valuing players? Do you think that there is a deficiency in there somewhere, or do you think that the market has sort of determined it correctly?
I think it all depends on where you're at as a franchise, and I think the Eagles recognize that. What they're doing. It all depends. Every team situation is so unique in the NFL. And again, that's what makes the NFL interesting to me, is everything is so unique. Every team setup is so unique. There's really no one team that's anything like another team. And so with regards to draft picks versus veterans, for one thing, I tend to be someone that thinks that people overvalue draft picks, especially from like the fourth or fifth round on. You're throwing darts at a wall blindfolded. And anyone who thinks otherwise, I mean, you can look at the guys who are considered the best drafters, your Ozzie Newsoms of the world or your John Dorseys of the world, and I can show you more misses than hits, and it's not even close. And so I think you're starting to see some teams figure out, hey, you know, the salary cap keeps going up. Maybe we don't need to be as afraid of it as we have been. And so if we can get a guy like, say, a Michael Bennett, if you're the Eagles, you can get a guy who's a proven, solid pass rusher, was still good last year. You can get him, rent him out for a couple of years, and all you're giving up is virtually nothing, you know, I mean, you're, the odds of getting a player as good as Michael Bennett, even for a year, with a fourth or fifth round draft pick, is virtually, it's not high.
Right.
And so they're finally seeing teams maybe start to overcorrect from maybe overvaluing draft picks a little too much. Now, obviously, the draft is still wildly valuable. You still need to build your team because you need cheap, competent players. Mm-hmm. But the danger of free agency, and I've been really beating this drum this offseason, the danger of free agency and the danger of having veterans, it's not a matter of paying veterans. It's a matter of paying the right veterans. If you pay good money, but it's for a good player, you're fine.
Yep.
In today's modern salary cap world, now it's when you pay good money or when you overpay or when you pay for a bad player, that's when you're in trouble.
You mentioned also teams maybe not needing to be so afraid of the salary cap. Teams who I think especially fall into that category are teams with rookie contracts at quarterback, which just so happens to include the team that you and I talk about the most. Whenever you have that kind of flexibility, it opens up elsewhere. So you have you spearheaded this, and I am 100% on board. We were seeing a bit of an exodus from the Seattle Seahawks. Can you go ahead and share with everyone what you think the Chiefs should do in relation to a particular Seahawk who just might be on its way out?
Which, you know, for the record, I have no idea, you know, I have no insight into this, and the odds are that this would never happen realistically, right? Mm-hmm. But it's pretty clear that they're either releasing or trading Richard Sherman, which, if I were the Chiefs, I'd at least inquire, see if they're looking for it. Maybe they're like, yeah, we'll take a seventh rounder. I mean, okay, fine, 1 year of Richard Sherman.
For 1 year?
That's worth a seventh rounder.
Yes, 100%.
It absolutely is. That seventh rounder, the odds of him ever contributing anything are virtually nothing. But anyway, my idea, because now they're getting rid of Richard Sherman, Cam Chancellor probably isn't going to play next year because of injury, Michael Bennett's out the door. You can see their players are getting a little iffy. Why not call them up and just say, hey, you know, you got another highly paid guy there, Earl Thomas, you know, we'll take him off your hands. We'll shoot you a third rounder. And just see what they say. What's the worst they can say? No.
No. Right.
And they probably would. But you can at least ask, especially if they've got a fire sale going on.
Yes. And he's in a similar situation to Michael Bennett and to Richard Sherman. These are guys with 1 year left on their deals. So Earl Thomas, he's 28, and he only has 1 year left on his current deal. Either the Seahawks are going to have to pay him soon, or they have to trade him soon, and then maybe the Chiefs would have to pay him. Now, that's a lot of money in the safety position, but the Chiefs can afford to do that because it's basically that we were talking, Seth and I were talking, behind the scenes earlier today.
Absolutely. And
The difference between Patrick Mahomes and Alex Smith from a salary perspective is pretty much Earl Thomas. So you can have last year's team, but with year two of Patrick Mahomes and Earl Thomas instead of Alex Smith, plus all the other moves you're making with Derek Johnson, Tom Bahali, etc., that's a pretty good trade-off. So I'm open to it. Also, really quick on Earl Thomas, explain why Earl Thomas and Eric Berry would work together so well.
Well, again, this is in our dream fantasy world.
Sure.
But the reality is they're two very different players. Earl Thomas is at his best patrolling the back third of the field, playing single high safety, and taking away the deep ball, essentially. And he's fantastic at it. Nobody's better at that from a free safety single high position. Eric Berry, and here's the deal, both of them can play anywhere. And they're good anywhere. But Thomas is great in the back third. And Berry is great playing either a robber role or in the box. He's great at those things. And so what that would mean is you could have those two guys doing exactly what they're great at and complementing one another perfectly. There's no overlap there. And the thing is, because Eric Berry can play single high, you can move them around a bit because Thomas is great in a robber role as well. So you can move them around, probably don't put Earl Thomas in the box, but their skill set complements each other wonderfully. Again, it's a fantasy. But I'm telling you, I would either bring a team to the Super Bowl or I would just flame out completely.
Yep.
Because I would be that guy that would make these hyper-aggressive moves like, you know, hey, you guys are going to, you know, you're going to let them walk anyway. You know, this would be a little bit better than a compensatory pick, and it would be now. Yep. You know, teams value now, right?
Yep.
And so if you might as well offer it. And again, what's the worst they're going to say? No. Oh, yeah, throw in a seven. Okay. And yes, eventually you run out of draft picks, so you've got to be careful. But people think of draft picks as the only way to build your team cheap, and that's not exactly true. Now, rounds one through four, those are pretty important. You do want to hit on as many of those as you can. But you also build your team for cheap with undrafted free agents, with guys that you fill in from across the league, you know, for veteran minimum contracts. Those are the guys you fill in. And so it's not just about hitting on that 1 through 7 draft picks. And so that's where I think people get a little carried away with the importance of them. And if you can get a guy like an Earl Thomas, you try. And that's where, to me, it's yes. like, hey, they're having a fire sale. I mean, when, you know, when you're driving past somewhere and you see going out of business, you know, everything's on sale that's not nailed down, don't you at least walk in and take a peek?
Sure, you stick your head in the door and see what's left. Absolutely.
Yeah, there might be something in there worth buying.
I want to go ahead and just try to keep the flames of this alive for as long as possible. Brett Veach does seem to be like the type of guy that understands you can build your team in different ways. You talk about building a team cheap. The Chiefs did it with a draft pick in the future for Reggie Ragland. The Chiefs do have a 2019 fourth-round pick for Reggie Ragland, a guy who gives you value and production right now and through 2019. So I think Brett Veach probably makes that phone call right about now. I sure hope he is. So
That would be fantastic.
Yes. We're talking to Seth Kizer. He's at RealMNChiefsFan on Twitter. You can listen to the Chief of the North podcast. And we're here live at No Other Pub at the Power and Light District. I'm telling you, this place is wild. Like, there's darts and beer pong and shuffleboard. And I see golf clubs. I don't know why. There are bowling balls behind me and a bowling lanes over my left shoulder. It's the most distracting place to possibly do a radio show. But so far, we've stayed on air. So, Seth, one thing that you've written about recently over on Arrowhead Pride, I read through this today, is you did the Seth Kizer trademark patented copyrighted film review of Albert Wilson. This is a guy that in this offseason you have a piece of an offense leaving, and a guy that had one of his best games of his career with your new starting quarterback in limited snaps. Albert Wilson has become a bit of a hot topic in Kansas City and also Chicago, I would assume. You broke it down. There are a lot of things in here, and there's some specific things I want to talk about. But first, go ahead and try to explain in a bite-sized what your large-scale result was from your Albert Wilson breakdown.
Sure. My overall result is that Albert Wilson is a decent player who belongs on an NFL roster, who belongs getting snaps. He's got some specific strengths with regards to yards after catch. He knows where to go. He's rarely, I don't think I ever saw him in the wrong spot on his routes. He understands how to drift to open spots and zones. Those are valuable things. He's a good aggressive blocker. He's got some skills, and the Chiefs finally this last year, they stopped asking him to do things he wasn't good at. Mm-hmm. He also does have things he's not good at. He's got a really small catch radius. He generally doesn't adjust to the ball very well. His hands can be suspect. And he just, in general, his route running isn't great, especially in intermediate zones when he's asked to run for any length of time and then cut. He really loses speed through those and is usually blanketed. And so he's got some strengths and weaknesses. What I looked to see was, okay, is Albert Wilson a guy who is getting separation on his own, who is making plays happen, or is he more a product of the system? And in my opinion, while Wilson does have some skills that are valuable, there are not so many that I think he would be incredibly difficult to replace in free agency. And so he's the type of guy that teams in the NFL tend to overpay a little, like offer him, you know, $6, $7, $8 million a year. And I would max out at 4. Because he's a guy you want on your team, but he's the kind of guy that overpaying that type of guy kills your salary cap.
Yep. I'm with you 100%. The things that you were uncovering, I say this a lot, sometimes when you're hearing stuff and sometimes behind your back. I always feel good whenever Seth does a breakdown on something that ends up affirming what I believed going into it. It makes me feel smart. It makes me feel like I somehow sometimes know what I'm watching whenever I look at football. So, and that's an experience I had reading this story. Also, all those things you talked about, the specifics of what he does well in this offense, to me, that also makes him more valuable for Matt Nagy and Mitchell Trubisky in Chicago, because that team needs somebody who can step into the offense and do those things for a young quarterback that's coming into a brand new offense that he has 0 hours of work logged in yet. That seems like his value would go up there. You mentioned this a little bit, but I want to talk more specifically about saves and the games that you charted for Albert Wilson. You found no quote-unquote saves from him. Can you explain what that meant?
Can you repeat that one more time?
Yeah, you in the article you found no saves from Albert Wilson.
Oh, saves.
In the games that you charted.
Right. So saves are a new stat that I'm tracking. That's why you lost me for a minute with wide receivers. What I want to do when I look at wide receivers, one thing that's important if you want to look beyond the box score is how do receivers do when they receive a poor throw? Are they bailing out their quarterback when they get a poor throw, or does that hardly ever happen to them? Because that's a way of seeing whether or not they are moving the needle, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Are they making things happen, or are they a product of the system? Are they a product of their quarterback? And saves is one way to track that. And so what I wanted to see was how many plays did Albert Wilson receive a poorly thrown pass that I would call a difficult catch, and he made it. Over the course of 5 games, including that Week 17 game, I didn't find any. And that's troubling. Now, part of that is his usage. He was mostly, you know, shallow routes. So you're not going to get a ton of those. But to me, that tells me that they weren't asking him to do a lot that your average, decent NFL wide receiver couldn't do.
Yep. And with that in mind, I think that if the Chiefs were to extend him and to keep him in that role, he makes sense. That's something that this offense is going to continue to utilize. But yeah. I think it's very soon this offense is going to need more than that, especially from the number two receiver. I don't know exactly where you stand on Chris Conley, but we're going into his last year of his current deal, and we have no – I still feel like we don't really know what he is. Now, he's coming off of an injury into the last year of his deal. I'm not terribly optimistic about where he goes from here, but I think that it would make a lot of sense, and please tell me if you agree or disagree on this. I think it would make a lot of sense for the Chiefs to invest either in free agency or relatively high in the draft in a guy that they want to become their number two receiver, if not this year, the next year. So maybe that's not Allen Robinson, who would be that now, but maybe it's a guy who you let play behind Conley and even DeMarcus Robinson, and you preparing for a much larger role in year two. Also, hopefully a guy that fits Patrick Mahomes' skill set a little bit better, which is something that even Brett Veach cops to, saying that's something we're going to be paying attention to. So all of that being said, where are you at right now with the wide receiver position as a whole, where the Chiefs should be investing in it? What do you think about Chris Conley? You can take any or all of those questions however you want.
I'll cover them one at a time. I like Chris Conley. I think when I watched the early games of 2017 before he got hurt, I think he was going to have the type of season that Albert Wilson ended up having, only a little better. I think we would have been talking about him as having his career year. He was given, and the coaches gave him the dominant role in the offense over Wilson. And it's worth noting that when Conley got hurt, at first it was DeMarcus Robinson who slid into that more prominent role, not Albert Wilson. Later on, when Robinson didn't quite pan out, that's when they went to Wilson. And so that tells you a little bit about what the coaches think, right?
Yeah.
So I like Conley. I think he's got an interesting skill set. I don't think he's going to be a star, but I think he can do some things that are really necessary. He's got a good catch radius. He can get open deep a little bit. He's a guy who wins contested catches. I think he's a guy that can help. He also blocks well, which is something Albert Wilson does well. And so he's got some valuable skills. I would say this. I would be cautious with regards to looking for, you know, a number two wide receiver, because the reality is the Chiefs already have their number two receiver. They've got Kelce and Hill.
Right.
And those the odds of them obtaining anyone that's going to bump either of those two are incredibly low.
Sure.
And so the number two, quote-unquote, wide receiver for the Chiefs is automatically pegged into more of a complementary role automatically, and that's if you ignore how much Andy Reid likes to use his running backs as well.
Right.
And so really, it's not a huge deal to me to have someone there who's going to you know, really move the needle that much. You just need someone who does their job. Now, one thing I will say with regards to the draft, I do think we saw a lot more empty backfield spread looks where the Chiefs had, you know, 5 wideouts. Whether those wideouts were actually all wideouts, it was often Kelce, sometimes a running back. But you saw a lot of that stuff, right? Like, this, like, honestly, by the end of the year, it was looking like a Texas Tech offense. People really wanted to watch it. And so I think if you're going to utilize that many receivers, I think they should keep going the smaller, faster, can get separation quickly route, because when you run those empty sets with, you know, just 5 linemen, you got to get the ball out quick because the pressure's coming. And the Patriots have lived doing that for years. Spread them out, get the ball out before the pass rush can get home, and you render pass rush irrelevant. Mm-hmm. And so I would like to see them address wide receiver, but I don't think it's a high need. I personally, you know, I've told everyone, I want to see them load up on defense and free agency. I want them to draft a guard early in the draft, and then maybe a linebacker. And then what, one guy that I really like is Mahomes' old running buddy from Tech. I'm going to butcher his name probably. Kiki Cutie, I think, is, which
sure.
is an adorable, it's an adorable name for starters. But he, I was watching him a little bit, and I think he's an ideal slot receiver for what the Chiefs like to do. I don't think he's remotely the blocker that Wilson or Conley are, but he can get open. He's also, unlike them, he's a pretty consistent deep threat too, and that's a big
right.
deal.
Okay, so this might not be totally comparable, but when you were describing Chris Conley, it sounded like you were describing Albert Wilson. Which of those guys would you rather have in a vacuum, and then which of those guys would you rather have knowing that Albert Wilson's probably going to be valued more highly in this offseason?
I would. So, you know, they're similar in, I think, level of play, but their skill set is pretty different, right? Wilson's
right.
good at getting open on these short routes that are one cut. Conley is not fast in his cuts, but he's very strong, and he's got a good catch radius. So it's different skill sets, but same level of receiver, more or less, I would say. I personally prefer Conley just a little bit. I think
yeah.
he's a little bit better at your traditional wide receiver stuff, and I trust his hands more. And I think his ceiling is higher as an athlete.
Yeah, agreed.
But
that's I was thinking the exact thing, ceiling-wise especially, yes.
Yeah, and so I really, you know, I would pick Conley in a vacuum, I think. But especially considering that Wilson's probably going to be, like you said, you know, I think he might be a little bit more expensive than what the Chiefs should really cough up.
Charlie just decided to come back to the whole setup here, and now he's gesturing at the iPad. I know the iPad is dying. I know somebody walked by and was saying, the battery is low. I see that, Charlie. I just got up and tried to do it while Seth was talking. And I just think that the charger is not working very well. I think the charger is just moving very slowly. Speaking, Seth, of underperforming chargers, oh no, what am I doing? The AFC West is unfolding hilariously. And
well done.
Thank you. I feel like that was an absolute A-plus maneuver. The AFC West is unfolding hilariously right now. Who do you want to see the Broncos end up with a quarterback, and why is it Kirk Cousins at $35 million a year? How do you feel about John Gruden trying to get back to 1998, and are the Chargers actually any good yet?
I can't believe Gruden actually meant that. There's no way he spent all this time meeting with all these teams, seeing what's successful and what isn't, and really meant what he said about stuff. There's a reason the Patriots run laps around everyone in the NFL. And part of it is they're willing to do things that are unusual.
Right.
And so I can't believe that he would just really, oh, I'm going to go back to 1998. So we'll see how it plays off with the Raiders. I'm curious if he really meant it. I think he might just be saying stuff. I hope he meant it. But as far as the Chargers go, I'm finally on board. Last offseason, I think it might have been you that was telling me, like, no, the Chargers are snake bit. I was like, I don't know. I don't believe that kind of stuff. Okay, now
might
I do.
Have been me.
I do. They are snake bit. I don't know what their deal is.
The Chargers in the regular season are the Chiefs in the postseason. This is the hill that I will die on.
It's an unfortunate thing, and I just don't they've got a lot of talent in certain places, but I'm not too worried about them.
Yep.
When the Chiefs were at their most vulnerable, the Chargers couldn't beat them when it counted, and I think the Chiefs will be a better team this next year than they were in 2017. As far as the Broncos go, my dream scenario, and hopefully I don't end up eating my words and the guy turns out way better than I think, my dream scenario is that they pay big money to bring in Case Keenum as a stopgap.
Mm-hmm.
And then they draft Josh Allen.
Yes,
this is
the goal.
that is my dream scenario. I'm afraid they're going to draft, you know, I mean, I don't think they'll have a shot at Rosen. But I would rather they take Allen than any of the other quarterbacks available.
Yep.
I personally wouldn't mind. I'm hoping, you know, with Minnesota really in there on competing for Kirk Cousins, I hope the Broncos lose their mind and offer Cousins like $40 million a year.
Me too.
Because he is not a $35 million a year quarterback.
No, well, okay, really quick diversion, because we've had conversations in this realm already. But how many quarterbacks are in the $35 million conversation for you?
Rodgers, Brady, Breeze. I'm out.
I think that's it. I'm with you. Yeah, I think there are three guys there. That's where I lose my mind. Like, I don't want to pay Derek Carr or Matt Stafford or Kirk
right.
Cousins. So, yes, I would love for – I hope the Broncos spend a bunch of money on a free agent and then draft Josh Allen. It's perfect. That is the perfect dream scenario.
That is the dream scenario, because I think Allen's going to bust. I really do. And, again, I mean, you know, the Kirk Cousins sweepstakes, if the Broncos sign him tomorrow, I'm not going to be that worried, honestly. I watched Cousins play, and one game does not a player make, of course. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I was there live watching Chiefs-Redskins. Alex was easily the better quarterback. It wasn't even close. Now, maybe that's why Bruce Allen made the move he made. I don't know, because Alex played one of his better games that night. He was brilliant in the second half. And so Cousins, he's got some talent. He makes some good throws. He's certainly a decent quarterback. He's certainly even a good quarterback. But he is not, to me, unless he takes another big step forward, and, hey, he has a few times in his career, so I'm not ruling it out, but he's not a guy that's going to be worth $30, $35 million. It's just too big a price to pay. I mean, think about that. You know, $35 million a year, you're getting close to what? I mean, 20% of the salary cap,
yes,
give or take?
It's wild. Yeah, it's wild.
It's just too much for a guy that doesn't move the needle on his own.
All right, I don't want to keep you for too much longer here, Seth, but I do want to ask you about the beginning of your war on box scores. And if you want to hear Seth talk about this in its entirety, you can go listen to the Chief of the North podcast. But can you sort of at least set up the pins here and then knock them down on your show?
Yeah, absolutely. This is an off-season project that is a long time in the making for me. I'm talking about the dangers of box score analysis, and lately I've been calling it the war against box score analysis. What I plan on doing over a series is talking about the problem with using what I guess you could call fantasy football stats to gauge players. Whether, and you'll see with quarterbacks it's yards or touchdown and touchdowns. With running backs it's yards and touchdowns. With wide receivers it's catches and touchdowns and yards. With, you know, edge rushers it's sacks. With inside linebackers and safeties, it's tackles. With corners, it's picks. These basic fantasy football stats that for too long people have used as a gauge for how well a player is playing are terrible gauges for how a player is playing. And so what I'm doing, and I just did my first one on quarterbacks, is I'm going to do an entire show to multiple positions explaining why. Because it's easy to say, oh, this is bad, but if you really walk through why, I would like to open people's eyes to the idea that it really is a terrible idea to look at a game box score and say, well, that quarterback threw for 300 yards and three touchdowns and only one pick, so he must have been fantastic. And what they miss when they do that. And then I talk about some better stats at a glance that you can look at that are publicly available that are a little more accurate. And then I talk about things that people can look at for on the broadcast to maybe review a guy a little bit. And for every one of these, I'm also going to bring on an analyst that I respect, ask them a few questions, and read off their answers. And this time it was Mark Schofield, who's probably the best quarterbacks guy in the business.
He's great.
And so I'm really excited about this.
I'm excited to hear it. Have I listened to it yet? No, of course not, because what do I listen to? I listen to my own voice. I do shows, and then I listen back to them, three or four times every day. That's how I spend my free time. But now I might just have to go listen to that, because Mark is also fantastic. So that sounds like an absolute meeting of the minds headed up by you, Seth Kaiser. So if you want to hear that, go listen to the Chief of the North podcast. Follow Seth on Twitter, at RealMNChiefsFan, and occasionally tweet him colloquialisms that are meant for the young folk in the community and see what he thinks they mean. That will never,
I will not understand them, Josh.
It will never cease to make me laugh, man. It will never, ever stop making me laugh. I heard that line, the liner that Beards made again, because I had to go through and update like 400 liners since we're now 94.5 FM instead of 99.3 FM. And I stopped at all of the ones that included the word Seth in the title and listened to them again. And they, every time I crack a smile listening, you explain how you didn't know what Netflix and chill was. It's you're truly a gold mine. on
it
and off.
It sounds like
the field.
It means you're watching Netflix and relaxing, and I like doing that. That's what it sounds like. And that wasn't funny, man. But my wife, we have some really, 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 you know, friends that were like, "What are you doing?" It was bad. What are you gonna do?
It's perfect. You embrace it. Like we have forced you to do, is what you do. You embrace it that way. Always good to talk to you, Seth. We'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds great, Josh. Take care.
It's gold mine, Seth Kaiser. Listen to all of his stuff. Read all of his things. Go to Arrowhead Pride. Tweet him. Colloquial. Just at this point, like if you listen to the show and you're not paying attention to Seth, then I have no power over you. We're hanging out here at No Other Pub at the Power and Light District. It is wild. There are 1,000 things going on. There are TVs galore. There are beer pong tables and bowling lanes. And then during that segment, some lady came up with, written on a napkin, "Are you Cody Tapp, Sean Lebo, or Scott? Are you Cody Tapp, Todd Lebo, or Shane Summers?" And I shook my head no, and mimed O for three with my hands. And I would love to find out what she was trying to accomplish.
Building's also on fire, nothing to worry about.
Did she ever really, like, let down look on her face when you said
no,
03?
No, okay. But also, like, listen, I really like Todd Lebo. I've never been confused with him.
It's true. You have a full head of hair.
I do. I'm a yeti. And Todd is the most aerodynamic man I know.
He is
sleek like a race car. All right, we're going to take a break because we're far overdue for one, but I was enjoying talking to Seth. I hope you were enjoying listening to it. Come hang out at No Other Pub sometime this week or just next time you're in the Power and Light District whenever we come back. I don't know. We'll talk about more things. There's a lot of NFL news going on, so maybe we'll do some of that here on Almost Entirely Sports.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
This is the best hair on the station, this show here.
On 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
That is the aforementioned Todd Lebo, the voice of the most aerodynamic man that I know. Not me, though.
No.
And I haven't seen that woman again since. Like, it was like one of those notes that said, like, "Will you go out with me? Check yes or no." But it was like, check yes or Lebo. And I also she didn't hand me a pen or anything.
Lebo pretty much avoids this area during the Big 12 tournament.
Good for him.
He kind of has, you know, obviously he has a lot to do with the station, with the show he produces and stuff, but he could come down here after, but he just doesn't.
I'm guessing what happened, though, is it's between 2 and 6, and we have 8-10 stuff everywhere. I'm guessing that she thought we were out here for Between the Lines, and that Kevin's back in the studio, and that I am either Shane or Lebo or Cody.
Danny.
Now you can tell that I'm not Danny with your eyes closed from 100 yards away,
right?
Because our voices are different registers.
Yes.
Like I am a dog whistle and Danny is a cigar, you know, like these are different voices in terms of shrillness or,
yes,
or husk. I am on the shrill side,
a dog whistle. That's
and that's
funny.
That's where I exist. We mentioned this a little bit with Seth, but there's a lot of things going on in the NFL right now. Michael Bennett was traded to the Super Bowl champions for pocket change.
I was going to say pennies on the dollar.
Yes.
Is this similar to the Marcus Peters trade? I'm sure you kind of talked about it with Seth.
Just a little bit with Seth.
I missed it. But.
Yeah, you're doing more important things, like trying to get girls' numbers out in the P&L, which is you do the creepiest.
I got it at least 3 already. So
yeah, I imagine you bungee jumping off of the balcony here, and then just going and then just handing your phone number on a sticky note
to
a bunch of women who don't
works,
want it.
It works.
No, it doesn't.
It does. No, it does. You'd be surprised.
I would be. You're right. I'd be shocked.
No, I was throwing T-shirts out to the Iowa State fans.
Oh, fun.
Because they have started to infiltrate this place.
At some point, I'm going to get on the stage this weekend. This is my. I forgot to tell you, this is my goal. One of my goals this weekend, and I mentioned this to our boss. I was like, "Yeah, if you want me to go on the stage and like promote anything, I'm comfortable doing that." He's like, "You're cool with that?" I was like, "Yeah, that's what I live for."
Oh yeah, Josh on a stage.
So one of my goals,
with millions of not millions, but a lot,
hundreds
of eyes on you.
My goal is to get on that stage with hundreds of eyes and try to get people to acknowledge ESPN Kansas City. But yeah, so we talked a little bit about Michael Bennett. The Eagles had guys kind of down their depth chart. They wanted to get some more time to, it sounds like. And his contract's running up. They're getting rid of Richard Sherman. His mom confirmed that. So he's either going to get cut or traded. And by the way, Seth mentioned this. And let's talk about Richard Sherman. The Michael Bennett thing doesn't really affect us in Kansas City, but it's worth noting because the Seahawks are in sell mode, which makes Earl Thomas unbelievably interesting, as Seth and I talked about.
Yes.
Richard Sherman, though, he's told his teammates goodbye over the past 24 hours, according to sources per Rappaport.
Really?
Yes. And his mom said on Facebook, we just found out that my son's no longer going to be a Seahawk, with like a sad emoji.
Wait, so they're going to trade him, or his contract
is
expiring?
Well, this is the thing. His contract, there's one more year in his contract, but they can create like $13 million for like $3 million dead cap space. Not exact math, but very close to what the actual reality of it is. That's going to make it to where either they trade him or they cut him. I don't think the Chiefs should be interested in Richard Sherman as a free agent. He's 28 and he's going to need more money. But I would be very interested in Seth said this as well. Offer him a sixth-round pick and see if they give him away for a year. Yep. It's basically doing the Darrell Revis thing. It's a little more expensive, but you can afford it.
It's a rent-a-player type
yes.
of thing. It's kind of like baseball.
And you give yourself a chance to actually win something this year. You fill the Marcus Peters void worse and more short-term and more expensively, but you fill it a little bit.
Well, they have the cap space.
And they have the space for it now. Also,
so
the difference between...
you think it's a good possibility that he could
only
be
the trade makes sense. Same with Aqib Talib. Aqib Talib and Richard Sherman make sense as traded players.
That's...
And by the way, I think I'd rather have Talib because he has 2 more years of that contract.
Oh, I thought Talib was a free agent. Okay.
No,
okay.
He might be. Talib and Richard Sherman are both very much cuttable, but Aqib Talib is the one that I'm more interested in because, again, if memory serves, and I'll double-check here, he has 2 more years of club control, but that are both very buckable. Mm-hmm. You can get rid of those contracts very easily. Yeah, it's $12 million this year and $8 million next year for Talib. It's at age 32 and 33, but you can cut him for $1 million in dead cap space this year and nothing next year.
Right.
I didn't want to throw the Broncos a sixth and see if they'd part with Talib. I would happily do that. And if the Seahawks want to do it with Richard Sherman, also piques my interest. A little less so, though, because, again, I think ideally the Chiefs are at least building for a 2-year window.
Yeah, hold a Sherman out 30.
32, just said that. Sherman's 38. Sherman. I did say that also.
You said 38? He's not 38.
28. 28.
Okay.
28.
I was like, what?
He's
29. That
damn it.
Sense. Oh, see, now you can't. Yeah. 29. Okay.
No, but he turns 30 in like 3 weeks.
So
look at that.
Prime is
he and Talib are very comparable at this point.
Yes.
And again, Talib is more. Talib has 2 years of basically free club control, as opposed to Sherman's one. So I would still be more interested in Talib for that reason. Also, more Talib and Crabtree in my life makes me a happier man. So I'd be very much up for that. But yeah, Michael Bennett was traded for a seventh round and with a seventh round pick to the Eagles for a fifth and wide receiver Marcus Johnson. Ooh. This is a steal. And these off-season prices are brought to you by Price Chopper. Price Chopper, your place for getting things cheap. Not actually a sponsor. I do shop there, though. Hey, Price Chopper, hit me up.
There you go.
At JB Briscoe. You're not listening. Price Chopper, not you, Charlie, although that's also probably partially true. One other football story that I wanted to talk about before we wrap up the NFL topics for the day. Did you hear this Peyton Manning story?
No.
Beards, are you back, by the way?
Yeah, I've been back for a while. I told you so.
Okay. I couldn't hear you. You said it very quickly, very quietly.
Oh, okay.
Peyton Manning, according to a tweet from Sports Illustrated, Peyton Manning sold
He's
all
coming
of,
back.
He sold, this oh. is better, he okay. sold all 31 of his Papa John's franchises 2 days before the NFL ended its sponsorship agreement. I think this is insider trading.
Ooh,
I think this means that he's going to Martha Stewart's jail.
Interesting.
Peyton Manning for jail.
Also, isn't he getting an offer of like $10 million to be an analyst for ESPN or Fox?
Oh,
or whoever?
I imagine. Someone will pay Peyton Manning a lot of money to do something that
very
boring can do. Yes, he's not going to be Tony Romo. This is not going to be.
Like, is there a more boring quarterback they could have picked?
Alex Smith. No, that's not even true. Alex Smith is more interesting.
Alex Smith
than
is more interesting, more interesting than Peyton Manning.
Yeah. Let's see. Okay, let's play this game. The most boring quarterback. Well, Tom Brady might loosen up post-career, but he's even more dry than Peyton Manning at this point, I think.
Peyton's so corny, though, too.
You're right. No, Peyton is like a boring dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Peyton Manning is a boring dad.
Drew Brees is up there, but he's really like not close. Not
but
even
also,
close
Drew Brees. Drew Brees is somehow more likable. Like I see Drew Brees, I'm like, oh, I like Drew Brees. I see Peyton Manning, and not even as a Chiefs fan, I'm just like, well, why do I care? Like, what do I care about what Peyton Manning has to say?
Yeah, pretty much.
Joe Montana's been pretty boring post career. That's a pretty good pace. He set a pretty good pace for Peyton to keep up with. This is a good conversation. I'm willing to
do some research here and find out what the boring quarterbacks around the NFL.
Yeah, I'm willing to take your suggestions. You can tweet me at JB Briscoe. All right, hope you enjoyed hearing from Seth Kizer. I always enjoy talking to him. I hope you enjoyed that whip around the NFL. We're going to be here at no other pub for the next 2 days. I mean, we will leave and like go sleep at our own homes and stuff. But from 4 to 6, we are here for the remainder of today. We're here tomorrow, and we're here Friday down to the Power and Light District. Even if you're not interested in college basketball, you will be interested in no other pub. It's crazy. I've said this several times, but there's like a half of a bowling alley over my shoulder, and there is great-looking food and drinks and a foosball table and shuffleboard and beer pong tables and ping pong and a taco bar, and I just want to live here. That's it. I just want to live here forever. Hey, Charlie, if you want to say hi to people, totally cool. Just turn your microphone off.
Yeah, I didn't realize
yeah,
that.
Yeah, now do turn your microphone off. Here, I'll do it for you. Now, don't ever turn it back on. Don't ever turn your microphone on ever again. You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports on ESPN Kansas City. Charlie, don't ever speak to me again.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.